What a beautiful reading. A grieving, desolate Mary Magdalene is met by the risen Jesus, calling her by name, and her grief is transformed into joy. And 2,000 years later, here we are, still rejoicing in the resurrection. Without the resurrection, the cross would represent a terrible failure, and it would soon have been forgotten. But instead, the resurrection showed it to be the great triumph over death and sin that it was and is, bringing hope to the world. Our Christian faith is a faith of hope, and that hope is founded on the resurrection. Now, we say this, and our faith is certainly one of hope, but sometimes I wonder if that is one of those things we say without really appreciating the full depth and force of it and the full implications of it. So this morning, I would like to reflect a little bit on the idea of Christian hope. In the face of all this suffering all around us, how exactly does Jesus' resurrection offer hope? What do we hope for exactly? And how does our hope now influence the way we live our lives here and now? So I just want to dwell on those things. Where to begin? Well, I think the obvious starting point must be Jesus' risen body. I think I'm coming and going on the microphone. I'll try. Is it all right? Have you ever wondered about Jesus' risen body? Because it was a very strange thing. The risen Jesus was not a spiritual apparition. He had a very real and solid body. And it wasn't his old body just brought alive again. We know this because it seems that he was not immediately recognizable as Jesus. But at the same time, his new body bore the marks of the old body from the cross, the nail holes in his hands, the wounds in his side from the spear, as we know from his invitation to Thomas to come and touch his wounds. So it was as if the old body was like a foundation for the new one. But the new one was new and different. Apparently, it could just appear in, for example, in locked rooms. Remember how the disciples were hiding in a locked room out of fear for their lives when suddenly the risen Jesus was among them? But it wasn't a ghost. The risen Jesus also prepared a fire and cooked breakfast for the disciples at the lakeside, John tells us. And in Matthew's account of the resurrection, when Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, encounter the risen Jesus, they seize hold of his feet. There was something to grab hold of. It was a real solid body. Now, I'd like just to pause here and ask you a question. What do you think the risen Jesus was? What sort of being? Well, the answer to that is that he was still a human being. His resurrection did not make him change from human being to something else. He was still a human, but he was a new sort of human, a resurrected human. The risen Jesus was a human being, but a new kind of human being with a new kind of human body. Now, so far, so weird, but it gets even weirder because we discover this new type of human body can exist in heaven. And we know this because that is where Jesus told Mary he was going. In our reading today, he said, "I am ascending to the Father." And we know that he did this from Luke, in Luke and Acts, and that's what we are going to be celebrating soon on Ascension Day. The fact that Jesus ascended into heaven. Now, he didn't leave his body behind, and nor did the new body change into something else when he went to heaven. So Jesus, in his resurrected human body, went into heaven and is there to this day in that form at the right hand of God with authority over all things. It came as quite a shock to me when I realized this. I had sort of thought of Jesus as divine spirit, incarnated as a human, and then he went back to being a divine spirit in heaven. But that is not, in fact, what the Bible says at all. Jesus is a human being, albeit a resurrected one, in heaven and in charge of all things. Well, you might ask, so what? Why does that matter? Well, the fact is that in the resurrection of Jesus, something remarkable happened beyond the obvious. The barrier between heaven and earth was broken through. The resurrection is like God's creation of heaven, where his will is done, breaking into God's creation of earth, where it isn't. And the resurrection is just the start of the process that will one day end in what Revelation describes as a sort of marriage between heaven and earth. The dividing line between heaven and earth will fall away. Each will be visible to the other. And in that process, a new heaven and a new earth will come into being, as the Bible tells us. And who will be revealed in that process as the ruler and judge of all things? None other, of course, than our risen Lord Jesus in his resurrected human body, which can move between those two creations. Well, where does that leave us? You might well ask. Where do we fit into this? Our ultimate destiny as followers of Jesus is to be raised from the dead, just like he was, and to have new and immortal bodies just like his. Jesus was what Paul calls the first fruits, Romans 8:23, and we will follow as the rest of the harvest. After we die, there will be a time of rest and peace with our Lord in a state he called paradise, as he said to the robber on the cross. And then when the time is right, the whole of creation, the whole earth, the whole universe, and also the whole of heaven are going to be made new. And we human followers of Jesus will be resurrected as part of that new creation in our new and immortal bodies. This is beautifully set out in 1 Corinthians 15. I urge you to read that passage. Now, this idea, I know, can be a little challenging to many Christians who have grown up with the idea that our destiny is to spend eternity in heaven in a sort of disembodied state. And many of our prayers and hymns and lots of aspects of our culture talk to us of leaving behind this earth of pain and sorrow and going home to heaven. But that is not biblical. Heaven is not our home. Our true home is God's new earth. God loves his creation. He declared it to be good in Genesis. He is not intending to abandon it. And indeed, he sent his son to redeem it, not just human souls, but the whole of creation. Our home is the new creation. And the exciting thing is that we will have work to do. As you know, God made us to be wise stewards of this creation, and let's face it, we pretty much messed that up. But at the end, we who are made in God's image will once again be able to fulfill our human vocation to look after God's new creation. I think that's more exciting than a disembodied eternity in heaven. I mean, how wonderful to know that this beautiful creation is not just going to be abandoned, but it's going to become something even more exquisite and wonderful. And we human servants of Jesus are going to have an integral part in it, serving our beloved Lord. This, not heaven, is our true Christian hope. That's our future. But what about the present? How does this have any bearing on how we live our lives as disciples? Well, our role now, knowing that God's creation, new creation, has begun, is to live our lives so as to help it to come to fruition. You see, as Paul tells us, what we do now to serve Jesus will somehow play a role in building the new creation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that nothing we do for the Lord is ever wasted. So what he means is that God takes what we do for Jesus now and uses it somehow in the building of his new creation. And this is true of the big things like fighting for justice. And just as importantly, it's true for the small things like making something beautiful, creating a lovely garden, knitting a hat for the homeless, sharing a kind word for someone. None of that is wasted. So it's a different mindset, I think, from the old mindset of doing good deeds with the idea of being rewarded in heaven. Our true reward will be to see in that risen creation how the things we have done now have contributed to it. I mean, what a reward that would be. I'm drawing to a close now, and I've covered quite a lot of ground. There's so much more to say. But I began by wondering how the resurrection offers hope. How wonderful to think that this suffering and broken world will never be abandoned by our God, but will one day be made new and perfect without suffering under the lordship of our risen Jesus. And how wonderful to think that because we have placed our trust in Jesus, we too, like him, will be raised in the new creation to serve him joyfully in our wonderful new bodies for eternity. And how wonderful to think that nothing we do now for the love of our Lord will be lost or wasted, but will be used by him in building his new creation. The God we worship is truly a God of hope. Amen.